This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you or a loved one have been a victim of domestic violence, help is available. Speak with someone today. You can contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available in English, Spanish, and over 200 languages through Interpretation Service. You can dial them at 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233 or text BEGIN, that's BEGIN, to 88788. WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, L.A. Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics. This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production. Welcome to another edition of the D-Loop Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Network. I'm your host, Garrett T. Lewis. I hope all of you had a fantastic Memorial Day weekend, as did I. You know, me and the missus spent a wonderful time at an undisclosed location with her family, and it was lakes, there was a pool, there was water parks, there was all types of cool stuff that I got a chance to experience. And on top of that, I got a chance to check out a bunch of professional wrestling while I was on my mini vacation. You know, Saturday being WWE's King and Queen of the Ring that took place in Saudi Arabia, and Sunday night with AEW's Double or Nothing that took place in Las Vegas. So I had my fill with food, fun, and professional wrestling. So me and Gabby, and she's back this week, and we break down, you know, the entire weekend of professional wrestling. And without any further ado, AEW's Double or Nothing and WWE's King and Queen of the Ring recap starts right now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The one and only, my co-host, the matriarch of the D-Loop Podcast, Gabby. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. And oh boy, do we have a lot to cover. A crazy weekend in the world of professional wrestling. You know, obviously, we're going to talk about the King and Queen of the Ring results. We're going to talk a little bit about this past Monday Night Raw. And, of course, we're going to talk about AEW's Double or Nothing. I can't believe it was 5 years already since the very first Double or Nothing, when everyone was walking away talking about Cody, you know, breaking the throne, and, you know, Cody having that banger of a match with Dustin Rhodes. And, you know, the list goes on and on. It was incredible. So to see, you know, how this very young company, you know, is, you know, started from nothing. Everyone was calling it the T-shirt company. And now all of a sudden, you know, 5 years later, we're critiquing matches and, you know,
Ospreay. Who the fuck?
I mean, hey, listen, you know, the fact that Tony Khan kind of took New Japan out of New Japan and put it, and, you know what I mean? So yeah, we're going to talk, like I said, we're going to talk about that and then, you know, in a nutshell. But I do want to talk about this past Saturday's King and Queen in the Ring. That's a lot to say in like one sentence, right?
Yeah, it's a lot going on. Doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah, a little bit. But like I said, it took place at the Jeddah Superdome, not the Silver Dome, but the Superdome, you know, in front of a capacity crowd. And I was saying this last week in last week's episode when I was breaking down this entire card, and how it was only five matches for these international PLEs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that these are throwaway events because clearly they're going out there working, but
yeah, for sure.
But what reason do you think that they're only just scaling it back instead of eight matches? Oh, we're going to give them five.
I mean, honestly, we'll get there later, but like, look at how long Double or Nothing was this year. I would rather have a handful of quality matches.
Very, very true.
No shade. I that pay-per-view was super long. Like, I think we said the first thing I texted you about was like, yo, that was extremely long. Like,
yeah, that was a bit, yeah.
You have both ends of the spectrum, right? Like, you have a shorter pay-per-view or premium live event, and then you have like a longer one. So, interesting.
Unbelievable. But the dark match, because obviously this past Friday, Bianca Belair did lose her final, I guess it'll be the SmackDown semifinals match. So she lost that match. So now we're heading on to this particular PLE where her and Jade Cargill defended the women's tag team championships against Indi Hartwell and Candice LeRae. Obviously, with a dark match, you want to get the crowd going. You know, we kind of knew, you know, what the result was going to be. But I got to tell you, and we say this all the time about Bianca Belair, just her ability to, with her gear, I mean, putting the abs on the gear, because, you know, obviously they have to get really creative, you know, when you're wrestling in Saudi Arabia because of their rules and everything. The women can't show any skin or anything.
So that's one of the things I actually wanted to bring to our attention. Like, think back to the first Saudi show where the girls had on, like, just bodysuits with t-shirts. Remember that? Like, when they, like, it just was not, like, it would just have their name on it. It was just, like, very, very boring. And now they have, like, full-on gear. Like, I love the progression of the women's events there. Like, because remember, it's for them to even put on a women's event or a women's match is already, like, a lot for them. So I love the progression of WWE and their events over there.
Yeah, I really do. And like I said, you know, kudos to Indi Hartwell and Candice LeRae. Like I said, two talented individuals. But I mean, we all knew that this was just to get the crowd going. And I got that new finisher from Bianca and Jade Cargill.
Move.
I mean, you know how we have these makeshift tag teams and, you know, they're together for a little bit.
A little hodgepodge, a little bit of that.
But they're really starting to gel truly as a true tag team. I love it. They're wearing the same colors and they have an incredible finisher. I don't even know what you call it. I get something very innovative, something new, something different.
I love it. I love to see women on the card. I love to see women that aren't necessarily like, I hate to say a squash match, but you know what I mean? Like, I love to see the progression because, you know, that's always been my biggest gripe with AEW as well as WWE, like the women's wrestling matches and lack of.
So. Very, very true. Very true. But speaking of women's matches, you know, we're off to the main card on King and Queen of the Ring. It's for the Women's World Championship, where the champion Becky Lynch was defending against Liv Morgan, who was on her legendary Liv Morgan Revenge Tour. And I have to tell you, this run for Liv Morgan as a heel, it's very untapped potential, because when you see that she's tapping into something deeper, and she has a little bit of a mean streak, which we've never seen before, because for the most part, we've seen the happy-go-lucky Liv Morgan. I'm happy to be here. Yay! You know, but I just think that now, you know, she's a little bit of a badass. And
I love it.
They're tapping into that. So, you know, obviously, I didn't think that there was going to be a title change in this match. I truly believe that Becky was going to hold on to the title. But, you know, during the course of the match, you know, Dirty Dom, you know, he obviously comes, you know, works his way to the ringside. And I was like, okay, what's going on now? Now, I didn't know. It was confusing because initially everyone's thinking, oh, he's going to help Liv, but he was actually trying to help Becky.
Allegedly.
Well,
we'll see how that plays out.
Allegedly. You know, just like the Diddler, allegedly, right? Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But, you know, it went into Dom, I think, what was it? She bumped into Becky while she was on the rope there. And Liv does her finisher and pins Becky 1-2-3 in 16 minutes, 25 seconds, and we have a new women's world champion in Liv Morgan. Talk about, you know, now what this title run means versus her previous title run when she beat Ronda Rousey a couple of years ago for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I think, like you mentioned, like it's different. We've never seen like a true heel Liv. I enjoy the character development that Liv's got going right now. It's just very different than what you expect from her. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the revenge tour continues, because I'm sure it ain't over.
Yeah, and I mean, based off what we saw on Raw, which we'll get into. Oh, boy.
It ain't.
Dom, you done messed up, boy. Let me tell you right now. But on to the next match is the triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship. Sami Zayn, who came out to a huge reception to that crowd in Saudi Arabia, obviously displaying his Islamic heritage and, you know, proud of that. And they're proud of him, you know, having him out there in Saudi. You know, but he defended against Chad Gable and Bronson Reed. Now, as I stated before, you know, Chad Gable is really, again, like Liv, another mean streak. You know what I mean? And, you know, obviously Otis is at ringside because he hasn't ditched Otis at this point. You know what I mean? So he's still trying to, you know, see the other side, see the dark side of everything. You know, hey, you know, I've been carrying you along all this time, and you know, now it's, you know, you need to, you know, get in shape and, you know, all this other stuff. So insulting him. Absolutely. And again, everything you would expect to see in a triple threat match, you know, all types of, you know, the suplex into the powerbomb thing, you know, obviously, you know, freaking Bronson Reed with that moonsault that he missed. But, oh, my God, did you see that?
Just the athleticism for these big guys is insane.
I mean, this wasn't big, meaty men slapping meat like we'd like to see. But, I mean, Bronson just really goes to show you, you know, guys like Ivar, guys like Bronson Reed.
They can go.
They can go. And it reminds me of the days of old with Vader and Bam Bam Bigelow, those super heavyweights that can move around that ring like a damn cruiserweight. And, but of course, you know, outside the ring, you know, Gable is telling Otis to hit, you know, I mean, he's telling him, hey, I need you to clothesline. I need you to clothesline.
All right, get it together.
And, of course, Chad Gable is holding him up. And out of the blue, guy ducks, and he ate a mean clothesline from Otis. My God, almost took his head off. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, of course, Sami Zayn does win with a Huluva kick, and he does retain the Intercontinental Championship. I'm liking this run. But now I think there needs to be a little bit more depth storytelling now with Sami, now that he's the champion, you know, having that personal feud now. Because, I mean, obviously when he was feuding, you know, with the Bloodline, that was big money, you know what I mean?
We were highly invested.
Absolutely. So now that he's the Intercontinental Champion, I do want to see a little bit more storytelling now with him being the champion. Because, again, he's getting into these matches, you know, with the, you know, triple threat matches and this and that. That's great, but it's really not the champion's at a disadvantage.
It's not moving the needle, I guess is what we're trying to say. Like it's just matches for the sake of having a match. Like, can we get into some rhyme behind the reason, you know?
Agreed. And I'm just hoping that they have, you know, future plans for him for the title, because I just think that it lost a little bit of steam after WrestleMania.
Agreed.
Because to be honest with you, I didn't think he was going to even win at WrestleMania. That was the shocker. I thought that he was going to maybe win at this pay-per-view in Saudi. I thought that would have been the move, you know, to have Gunther hold on to the title. You know what I mean? But again, and we'll talk about Gunther's match a little later on, and we'll find out that could have been part of the plans. But I wouldn't mind Gunther as the Intercontinental Champion and King of the Ring. Are you kidding me? So, well, like I said, we'll see. But like I said, Sami does retain the Intercontinental Championship. That match was 13 minutes and 40 seconds long. The next match is the final round in the Queen of the Ring tournament. Nia Jax representing SmackDown versus Lyra Valkyria representing Raw.
I was thinking Nia was going to win this thing, but it wouldn't have shocked me if they would have pulled a swerve and had the young upstart win.
I kind of wanted it. I mean, it makes sense for Nia to win, like 100%. But her entrance, she had a really cool entrance. Like, and I can appreciate the fact that, like, the main roster crowd is behind her. Normally there's kind of like a transition with NXT girls moving up to main roster where it's like, who is this person? Like, I don't know if I'm going to get behind her or not. So the fact that the crowd is truly behind her, I was like, okay, yeah, there is something there with her. Like, I see it. I see where we're going with this. I like it. Because there's always that issue of NXT girls just really losing steam when they get to the main roster.
But I think also, too, it's a change of leadership. You know what I mean?
Obviously, we know what it is.
Right. We know what it is. You know, they're doing these vignettes now for these for these men and women that's coming up to the main roster. So the people that are only invested in Raw and SmackDown know who these people are when they do come up to the main roster. I think that's been the one main concern of ours. And that has been consistently inconsistent for many, many years. Let's count the ways. But I think that the future is bright for Lyra Valkyria. I mean, think about it. She beat Becky, you know, for the NXT Women's Championship.
And she put on a really good match with Nia. Like, that could have been a squash, honestly, and it wasn't. Like, that was a really good showing for her.
It was a really good showing, and it really showed you, okay, the untapped potential that she has. And this is where I feel where a mid-card championship for the women is way overdue now. Because you have some women that are climbing the ladder, you know, the Tiffany Strattons, the Lyra Valkyrias, you know what I mean?
It's justifiable now.
Right, absolutely. I mean, even, like, I'll be honest with you, even, like, if they had the Women's Intercontinental Championship, right? And I said it should be a veteran that should get the title, a Naomi, for example.
Who's Naomi, yep.
Right, we talked about Naomi before, which I would feel would be a perfect candidate. A babyface that people know, that people love. They're already behind her. She got the merch and all that. So absolutely, she would be the perfect candidate to be the very first women's intercontinental champion. But I think for a Lyra Valkyria or Tiffany Stratton or, you know, all the new girls that are coming up that are really cutting their teeth now on the main roster, I think they can really benefit and maybe, hey, chasing that title. But like I said, getting back to the finals match with the women, you know, that finish with Nia Jax, my God. And Shimmy, she was very safe with it. You know, she obviously, Nia was on the second rope and Lyra was trying to powerbomb her off of it. And she just sat, boom, gave the annihilator. And the homage to the late, great Yokozuna's Banzai drop, pinned her 1-2-3. And Nia Jax is your 2024 Queen of the Ring. And may I add this, and I totally forgot to cover this as well, is that when Hunter Triple H was doing some media on Friday, he mentioned that the winners of the Queen and the King of the Ring tournament will earn a championship opportunity at SummerSlam. So I like the fact that they're throwing a little bit more into the mix because
last year it was nothing.
It was just, okay, you have a prop.
Little title.
Right, that's all it was. Like the last time that, I think the first and only time that a championship opportunity came out of it was when Brock won the 2002 King of the Ring and earned a shot at SummerSlam against The Rock. So, you know, you see it and it's kind of, okay, I get it. But, you know, I like this now because it really adds more prestige to, I'm not wearing this crown and cape for shits and giggles. Like, I'm really here because now it's my time to prove why I am the King of the Ring, why I am the Queen of the Ring, because I'm going to have a championship opportunity at SummerSlam and take what's rightfully mine. So it's interesting, and let's see what happens, you know, as the months go on. But I guess I'm really proud of the strides that Nia Jax has taken. You know, like I said, she dropped a ton of weight, and she's just moving around in there like a cat. And she is in the psychology now that she's really showing. You know what I mean? It's incredible to see. So kudos to Nia Jax. Kudos to Lyra Valkyria, you know, for putting on an incredible outing at the Queen of the Ring. And now we have the final match of the King of the Ring tournament. The Ring General, Gunther, representing Raw against the Apex Predator, the Legend Killer, every nickname you could think of, the one and only Randy Orton representing SmackDown. That match goes 21 minutes and 50 seconds. And I got to tell you, first off, I would love to see a program at some point with Randy Orton and Gunther. They just mesh so well together. Mm-hmm. And I said it on last week's show when I was previewing, because I had a feeling, because again, when I taped last week's show, the Tama Tonga Randy Orton match hadn't taken place. And I'm thinking Randy Orton's going to be in the finals. Yeah. And I was just talking about just how smooth that guy is in the ring and what the best that he could bring out of somebody. And I think him and Gunther can have a hell of a program. And it doesn't have to even be a title involved. It doesn't have to be a title involved. It can just be, hey, you know, let's go in there and let's show who's the best wrestler. And I mean, right now, you know, without going into details, I think that Gunther, I think he's going to be packing some gold this year. And you know, some more gold.
100%.
I think so. There is a little controversy, though. There is some controversy because when Randy Orton did get pinned by Gunther, his shoulder clearly was up. I don't know what I don't know if that was done by design.
That's my next question. Do you think that was design or do you think that was totally just a fluke?
I think that could have been just a ref botch. And sometimes it's like you're so way. You can kind of get caught up in the match. And I've seen instances where referees, I mean, even on the indies, I've seen it where, you know, a referee can just it one little thing, but that referee position is so key in a match. You know what I mean? Like you're kind of seen but not heard. It's like, you know, but at the same time, it's like you just kind of just know what's going on. So in professional wrestling, you can make something out of nothing. So hopefully we can see, you know, what happens. But Gunther did pin Randy Orton to become the 2024 King of the Ring. And I sincerely hope that they sell some King General t-shirts this year, this summer. So we'll see what happens with that. And, of course, it's your main event, you know, for the Undisputed WWE Championship. The champion, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, defending against the United States champion, Logan Paul. Of course, was it last week or before last, you know, Logan Paul stated that it's not going to be, you know, a title for title. It's just going to be for the WWE Championship, which is smart. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like we kind of knew what the finish was going to be. Yeah. But I got to say
this. We got a good match in the middle, so, like, it's fine. Like, yes, I don't think anyone honestly thought Logan Paul was going to win, but they gave us a really good match.
And it's just mind-boggling to me on how good this dude is. And he's only been doing this for 2 years. And the crazy thing is, he's main evented against arguably one of the greatest superstars in the last 35 years in Roman Reigns.
I was going to say his Roman match.
He's had some bangers of matches. Seriously.
Yep.
2 years. And he's doing this. And the shot of the night has to be the 360 drone cam where he was on the top rope. Cody was laying on the announce table. Logan took a sip of the prime, spit out the water as if he was Triple H, and does the splash. And that was his idea.
I saw the text, yeah.
He sent out a text, I'm assuming it's Triple H, about the drone cam, 360 degrees. And, man, that was a visual that, sheesh. But that just goes to show you, if you have a mind for the business, if you care about the business, if you care about what you do, and when the higher-ups, the powers that be see that, they're going to buy into a lot of things that you want to do, a lot of things that you want to, some ideas that you're thinking, hey, I think, what if we try this? What if we try that? Because at the end of the day, it's about the fan experience, because I'm sitting, I'm on my mini vacation, and I'm just watching this on my laptop. I'm just like, oh my God, did he just do that? And it's, I mean, he did miss, because I thought he was going to miss, but Cody actually ate that splash. And of course, you know, somebody handed him brass knucks, which we kind of knew was going to happen, obviously. And Cody caught, you know, he got it, you know, and next thing you know, Cody does the Crossroads, pins him 1-2-3, and still WWE champion, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. I will say, you know, for everyone that was thinking that this Saudi crowd was going to be as rowdy as the French crowd, you know, if you're disappointed, then, I mean, that's your fault, because you can't expect the France crowd every single international PLE.
I mean, honestly, we have to, I mean, look at the international PLEs we've had. Like, those crowds have been intense. Those crowds have been on fire. They have not been silent. So, not every crowd is going to outdo the last. But, like, let's give credit to where credit was due. They still were popping. They still were pretty amazing, all things considered.
Absolutely. And then keep in mind, too, they've been there so many times already. Like, think about it. They've been going over there April of 2018. Mm-hmm. was when they did the Greatest Royal Rumble. That was the first Saudi event that they did.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been on average doing two a year, with the exception of 2020, when they only did one, and that was the, I think it was the Super Show, I believe.
Where, yeah, that was COVID year.
Yeah, The Fiend had dropped the title to Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually... Hey guys, I know you can't see us right now if you're listening to the audio version of this, but as you can see, the facial expression of me and Gabby pretty much summed up that the result of that match and the decision of that match in 2020. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to tie a bow on King and Queen of the Ring. We're going to move on to Monday Night Raw, though, and I got to tell you, a lot, you know, went down, you know, in that from this past Monday's show. And I'm just going to just talk about the end of the show. Okay. Because we had, of course, the steel cage match. Because now there was that, remember, there's no outside interference now. It's going to be a steel cage match. Becky invoked her. Right. Because Becky at the PLE was saying she was, you know, Byron Saxton was in the back and she was walking and she said, I'm going to invoke my rematch clause on Monday, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Monday night's main event, and of course, Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch, I mean, they're throwing haymakers and cage match, right? And of course, Dirty Dom is at ringside. And then of course, Braun Strowman comes out. And now he's running around the ring, chasing guys around the ring. Dom is at the open cage door. Becky's about to get out of the ring, and Braun accidentally pushes Dom right into the steel cage door, which hits Becky Lynch. And of course, that gives the opportunist
for Liv
Morgan to crawl out of the ring and retain the Women's World Championship. And some people saw it, and there was this big controversy where some people saw it live and some people saw it online.
Mm-hmm.
When the kiss heard around the world happened, mm-hmm. when Liv Morgan laid the smackdown, if you know what I mean, on Dirty Dom and kissed him. And I'm just like, oh boy. So this really is starting to tell a story about, from Liv Morgan, I'm going to take your title and I'm going to take your man.
He said, I'm going to take everything you love.
And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if she takes the Judgment Day.
Yeah, they had her talking, like if you kind of pay attention to the background of all the little segments, you can kind of see her talking to Finn. You can see her talking to JD, and I'm intrigued. Yeah.
It's interesting television, and what's really funny is the fact that a fan caught Michael Cole walking towards the back in rain, and he's talking down to Dirty Dom like a very disappointed uncle. Like, how could
disgusted.
You? He's just very disgusted, right? But I think he called him a freaking idiot. He called him something on commentary on Saturday, and I was just like, oh my god. I just love the fact that Triple H is just letting these guys just say what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Like, they get to say some forbidden things that you couldn't say under the previous regime. Pro wrestling! Pro wrestler! You know?
I mean, they referred on and on. To NJPW. They referred to the Real Bullet Club. Like, there have been, casual drops here and there that no one would, you would never think you would hear an NJPW reference in WWE, like, ever.
No.
And that was casual. Like, oh, yeah, no, Tama was in NJPW.
Right. And it's just, it's certain instances in the previous regime where they would mention that, you know, of course, when AJ showed up at the Royal Rumble and they said, former IWGP champion,
same as right.
Same, they said, same as Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. So you get the vibes. But like I said, I'm interested to see now what's going to happen because for those that are in the know or not, it seems like that this coming Friday is someone's contract is coming up for expiration, and that happens to be one Becky Lynch. Now, her tweet, you know, on her X account stated to be continued.
I think that Becky's not going anywhere. This very well could be like, we'll get there later in the show. This could be like the MJF, like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm going to play this game of like the great bidding war. But I just don't see her leaving her family. And the mom in me is like, take some time off, right? Like, she has been working. She got called in when Rhea got hurt. Like, we know what that was. Like, I'm sure she wanted to take off some time. Like, I can see her wanting to be a mom and just wanting to just be home with her husband and her child and, like, not be on the road. Like, that, it, wrestling beats up your body, but also beats up your mental because you have to be on the road. You have to be turned on. You can never just have a minute to yourself. And as a mom, you'll never have a minute to yourself ever again.
No,
so, like,
no.
I don't see her going anywhere, and I just think that maybe she just truly wants some time off. And again, it very well could be part of a swerve, like with MJF. Like, I never thought he was going anywhere, but there was a whole big bidding war of 2024. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that hopefully she comes back. Maybe she'll come back. I don't think it'll be SummerSlam. I think that she will randomly pop up in maybe Survivor Series or something like that. I think it'll truly be like real time, not like a month time off, like real time off.
And to be honest with you, like, there was really no bidding war with MJF at all because
that's what I mean. Like, it was just
because there was no
talk about. Dude, no, he wasn't going anywhere. He was never going anywhere.
But he signed a contract a year ago.
He never was going anywhere.
No, he wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it just really goes to show you that in wrestling, you know, never say never. But also, too, you just never know what's. For all we know, the contract could have already been signed already, and they're just being really, really.
And that's what I mean. They're just like, exactly. Like, I don't think she's going anywhere. I don't think where she would leave her family. Again, family, mom, hello. Like, I don't think she would leave her family to do someone else's schedule because then when truly would she see her husband and her child?
Agreed. I'm gonna take a quick time out to let you guys know that the shirt that you're seeing, if you're watching the video version, the Bleav in the D-Loop podcast t-shirt, you can get that, hoodies, you name it, mugs, tote bags, over at shop.darrettlewis.com. Again, you can get tons of items that are there. You know, right, I launched this on a new platform with Bonfire. Huge thanks to Bonfire and the team over there. Quality products. And I'm very, very proud to be a representative of that brand and having the Derrick T. Lewis brand and Luciette Music brand with them. But again, shop.derrettlewis.com. You can get this very t-shirt that you see if you're watching the video version and tons of other items.
Don't forget, you can also get t-shirts like the one I'm wearing on the WWE shop. You got a link to that too. Why don't you drop that link?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you go
at it.
Yes, if you can go to wrestling.thedloopodcast.com, it'll be a link straight to wweshop.com. Of course, some kickback will come back to the D-Loop podcast. So just show it a little love. And also my PWT Pro Wrestling Tees shirt site. You can go to pwt.darrettlewis.com as well. So make sure that you do that.
This episode of the D-Loop podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and thiamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan-friendly, gluten-free, and gelatin-free. All loyal listeners of the D-Loop podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout. Go to goalie.com, use promo code DLEW. That's goalie, BlueNile.com. Use promo code DLEW.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we're going to move on along to AEW's Double or Nothing. And like I said, guys, by the way, this was an incredible weekend for pro wrestling. I mean, truly, because, you know, you had a Saturday afternoon PLE with WWE, and then you had a Sunday night event, you know, with AEW. You know, it's so good to be a wrestling fan right now, you know, where we have the ability to watch all of these events in the confines of our own homes. If we're out, you know, we can watch them on our smart devices, laptops, you name it. So to have all of this content at our fingertips, it's incredible. So wrestling fans, stop complaining, stop fighting with each other. Tribalism doesn't exist. It all happens in a squared circle, and depending upon the promotion, is a 16 by 16, 18 by 18, or 20 by 20 wrestling ring. It's the same stuff. Some companies just have more money than others. That's it. So just enjoy it. Enjoy the products. That's all. That's my PSA for today. But like I said, you know, there was a total of, if you include the two dark matches, and which we'll cover as well, there was a total of 12 matches, because
that is entirely too long. Like, let's be honest. Like, I dozed off a few times during some matches. I had to go back. That's the beauty of buying it on Bleacher Report. The next morning, you can go back and watch it. Whereas,
very true.
You can't anybody else. But yeah, no, I dozed off a few times. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was great. It was engaging. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I didn't fall asleep because I was bored. I fell asleep because I'm old and I'm tired.
I mean, I was lucky that I had the ladies' kids watching it with me, and they were very invested. They were very invested in all of the matches, and really excited to, you know, as far as who are these people and everything. But the opening dark match, which I thought should have been on the main card, was my Jersey girl Deonna Purrazzo taking on Thunder Rosa, you know, by pinfall. I mean, again, two damn good workers that are in the wrestling business, male or female. I mean, you could put Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa in any company, and they will be. I mean,
and they have been in pretty much most of the companies.
Absolutely,
they've been in the big three.
Absolutely, so no doubt in my mind. But again, the match goes 10 minutes, I mean, they had a pretty decent, you know, amount of time, you know, for a dark match. You know, they were the first match there, 10 minutes 15 seconds. You know, obviously, Deonna Purrazzo did pin Thunder Rosa by pinfall, but there was a little underhanded stuff going on, and I think they're going to be toying with some heel turn with Deonna Purrazzo. And like I said, this match should have been, to me, this match should have been on the main card, because, like I said, there were so many championship matches on the card. There were some that should have been, maybe not. I don't think you should pile so many championship matches on every single card. That's just me. I think some you can give a break to, you know what I mean? But that's neither here nor there. The second dark match, in the buy-in, was the trios match with the Acclaimed of Max Caster, Anthony Bowens, and Daddy Ass Billy Gunn taking on the Cage of Agony. That's Toya Leona, Bishop Corn, and Brian Cage. You know, I loved, you know, in the beginning about, you know, the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass and all that stuff, but something's missing with the Acclaimed now. I don't, and mind you, the Acclaimed are one of the few AEW acts that was built from the ground up.
They're homegrown.
They're homegrown, and I appreciate that. I really, really do.
I think they're just, I'd say stale, but like, I think they've ran their course. And until they do something different, it's just not, you know what I mean? Like, I think they've ran their course. They need to do something different to bring life into this. But at this point, I agree. Like, I'm kind of bored with them and daddy ass. Like, it's just not, it's not doing it for me anymore. I used to be a very big fan. Now I'm just like, okay. I'm not going to turn the channel when they come on, but I'm not also looking for the match. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, oh my God, trios match tonight. Yes.
They can work. They could. Oh, I mean, heck, listen. Listen, Billy Gunn is 60 years old. I want to look half like that at 60 years old. I mean, good God. But yeah, there's something missing. But again, they did walk away with the win, you know, 11 minutes, 45 seconds, you know, anything, like I said. And these type of matches, you know, a triple threat or a six-man tag, or it's all going to be, you know, chaotic and fun, yeah, entertaining and all that. So, by the way, did you see the girl that
in the note?
Oh my God! Anthony Bowens was trying to do the scissor, you know, and the girl was just like looking very nonchalant and just put it on his finger and they just threw it. I don't know what it was, but I just thought it was hilarious.
Cute.
All right. Now we're in the main card of Double or Nothing. Again, like I said, 5 years, man. Unbelievable. And like I said, congrats to AEW on, you know, sustaining, you know, through the storm, through all the ups and downs and the peaks and all that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're still here. So, and I mean, think about it. They did not plan going through a global pandemic in year one, and they weathered the storm. So that just says a lot.
Kudos, shout out for sure.
Kudos to TK. Opening match was for the International Championship. Will Ospreay challenging Roderick Strong. Of course, the members of the Undisputed Dynasty, with Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, my fellow Patriots fan. And, of course, there's, you know, all types of interference happening right from the start, and they both get thrown. Matt Taven and Mike Bennett end up getting thrown out by the referee and just let this match happen. I got to tell you, I've been watching Roderick Strong for a very, very long time. I really love his work, what he's doing in AEW.
He's highly underrated.
He is. And I mean, he's been underrated for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, even before his WWE NXT run, like, I thought that...
I mean, in Ring of Honor, he was underrated, absolutely.
I just felt as though that he was, like, right there on the cusp, and just something wasn't... No one was willing to put the rocket on him, you know what I mean, and shoot him to the moon. But I like it. I love Roderick Strong's work. I really, really do. Mm-hmm. And, again, everything you would expect in a if you want to call it, a pseudo indie match type thing, because, you know, they're going to bring all the bells and whistles when it comes to that, the flippy stuff, you know, all the Strong style, you name it. But I know during one of the he was ready to do his the finisher that he said he wasn't going to use anymore because he had hurt Brian Danielson. And I know our best friend and yours, Don Callis, was trying to tell, because he was on commentary for the match, and he was telling him to do it, and he just wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't do it. But it's neither here nor there. You know, Will Ospreay does win the match by pinfall to win the AEW International Championship. And I was saying last week, on last week's episode, I was saying that they're going to London, and I think they wanted to get a lot of their British acts hopped going into that show. That being said, I don't know if Will Ospreay has to wrestle for the heavyweight championship this year. But there was an announcement during the dark match, and I'm going to talk about that, could put him there. And what I mean by that is that Dr. Martha Hart and Tony Khan came out before the pay-per-view came on, and they're talking about they're going to do the Owen this year again. They're going to have the Owen Hart Foundation Elimination Tournament, and the final match is going to be on July 10th. In Calgary, Alberta, Canada, at the Saddle Dome. And of course, the winners of that tournament it's pretty much like the King and Queen of the Ring. They're also going to earn a championship match at All In London. Now, what I could see happening is Will Ospreay winning the Owen and challenging whoever the AEW champion is at All In London. Could it be Swerve? Could it be whoever? I don't know. But
yeah, we're far off to make that assumption right now.
too far off, but I'm just looking at from a perspective of, because I was thinking, does Will Ospreay really have to be in the heavyweight title picture now? But if they were to put him in position to do so, winning the Owen tournament would probably be the best scenario. Bet.
Smoothest, yeah.
I think so. But we're going to move on now to the match for the Unified World Trios Championship. The Bang Bang Gang of Jay White, Austin, and Colton Gunn defeating the Death Triangle of Pac, Penta El Zero Miedo, and Rey Fénix. And again, like I said in the earlier Trios match, and especially with these six, I mean, especially with the guys in the Death Triangle, that's going to do any and everything, high risk, you know, you name it. You know, there was just so much going on in the match. You know what I mean?
And the return of Juice. You can't forget
Juice Robinson, that's right. And I had totally forgot that quickly that he was still in Bullet Club Gold. I'm just like, oh, man. So now they're back at full force. And yes, because of that interference, the Bang Bang Gang did retain the Trios Championship, the Unified World Trios Championship. I'm wondering when they will eventually split those titles up again.
I don't think. I don't know. The problem is that the Ring of Honor titles are rarely defended on Ring of Honor. They got to get better at that.
Yeah.
So, like, at least with the Bang Bang Gang, they will show up for Ring of Honor taping. We all know MJF, Adam Cole never did. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of lost because it's the more I look at it, you know, I'm just thinking like, okay, he bought Ring of Honor, Tony Khan. And I'm just like, okay, they're still showing on Honor Club and that's cool. But where are we going now? Like, there needs to be a little bit more consistency, a little bit more brand awareness to Ring of Honor. Because granted, it's exclusive on an app, on the Honor Club, you know, site, but there needs to be more, you know, promoted about it. They need to promote it a lot more than what they're doing. So we'll see. Next week is for the AEW Women's World Championship. Timeless Toni Storm defending against the Professor herself, Serena Deeb. And again, I wasn't thinking that Serena was going to win this match. You know what I mean? I'm looking at this pay-per-view on the road to London.
Yeah, I looked at this match as Toni Storm needed a credible partner.
Opponent,
someone
right.
To wrestle. And Serena Deeb, why not? Sure. You know my always phrase, it's a match that happens. Like, it didn't move any needles.
No. Hence why the TBS title got the triple main event bill. You know what I mean? They made that title a lot more important than the world championship, clearly because of who was in it, and I get it. But man, like the casting, I don't see Serena as a babyface. Serena is
she's
a heel. She's a heel at heart. She's a heel.
You know anything about her history, then yes.
Yeah. So for me, it kind of took me out of the moment a little bit because I'm just like, okay, I can't see Serena winning this match because, again, I know there's a pay-per-view, there's a stadium that they have to sell out. Mm-hmm. And you want to have all of your British wrestlers hot. And that's how I'm as a booker's mind, I'm thinking that's the direction that they're going in. I couldn't see Toni Storm, and she is owning this character. Oh my goodness. She is owning the character. This has to be, I think, Tony Khan's greatest creation.
Easily. Mm-hmm.
In regards to characters, because they are really investing in her. I will give them that. They really, really are. And they're going above and beyond to put her in that spot. Mm-hmm. I just wish that now they have to make that title feel just as important, because the fact that the mid-card title was promoted as far more important than the world title, that concerns me a little bit.
Let's talk about who all the mid-carders are right now. Will Ospreay, technically, the mid-carder. Mm-hmm. Mercedes Moné, the mid-carder. Someone else, your TBS champion, Edge. I'm sorry, Rated R Superstar, whatever you want to call
TNT.
Him. Adam Copeland.
TNT, yeah.
Like, look at your three mid-carders.
Right, and then you have your world champion, and it is no disrespect to Swerve, but they haven't presented him as the guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They haven't presented him as that.
Yeah.
They haven't, you know, so it's crazy to think about that. You know what I mean? But but we're going to move on now to Orange Cassidy versus Trent Beretta. I mean, this is your typical, you know, grudge match.
Orange Cassidy,
you know, I wasn't, you know, and obviously he came back a little darker. You know what I mean? It was a darker denim of blue. And it was a black Orange Cassidy t-shirt, not the white one. But, you know, you saw a little bit of more of a mean streak out of Orange Cassidy. You know, obviously, Trent Beretta, you know, was going to do his, you know, he's trying to establish himself now as heel and do some underhanded things in the middle of the ring. I enjoyed it for what it was. You know, I'm not into the scoring system. That's not my domain. That's not my forte. I'm not going to do that. I think the match served its purpose. They got a lot of time. Listen, there was no match on this card under 10 minutes. Everyone got plenty of time on this pay-per-view. But, of course, Orange Cassidy does win. He can lose matches. And he's just one of those guys where it's like he's Teflon. The fans are going to love him, win or lose.
Regardless.
I honestly thought that Trent Beretta was going to win this match because they're trying to establish now a new side of him, a new character, so to speak, that can, you know, maybe get that maybe that mid-tier, mid-card at some point, you know, title contender or whatever. But, you know, but hopefully, I'm sure this match will be far from over. So this feud, rather, will be far from over. Next, there's going to be for the triple threat three-way match for the FTW championship with FTW rules. The Learning Tree, Chris Jericho, defending against Hook and Shibata. Now, this is hard because I was a fan of Chris Jericho going back to ECW.
Everyone who thought this would be his career path?
I'm lost because I'm confused. I don't know if they're personally trolling because they're clearly going over the top with this now. Because they're hearing the fans, please retire, go home, go away. Now, I don't know if that is backlash for the real life stuff that got online that the fans are now aware of.
No, I think that we were over Chris Jericho about a year ago.
Okay.
I do think that's part of it. I think that's part of a lot of people are like, more vocal these days.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I always talk about Chris Jericho and the fact that he has these factions, right? But no one ever gets over in the factions.
Not really, no.
You know what I mean? Like, he had.
Where's Sammy Guevara right now?
We hate him. I mean, I say we, I mean fans in general, like, not just me and you, but like, in general, like, fans do not like Sammy. What did he do with Pride and Powerful? Nothing. What did he do with any of the factions he's had? Nothing. He ain't even in AEW anymore. But like,
yeah, you know what I mean?
When Jericho has these factions, great ideas, and like wants to work with the newbies, like, how does that benefit anybody other than Chris Jericho? Hook don't need it right now. Hook is fine. Hook was fine. Like, this is not, this program is not benefiting Hook. So again, what is the point with Jericho and his factions and his things? Like, no one ever gets over under Chris Jericho. The only time I agree with Chris Jericho having the belt was for him to be the inaugural champion. It 100% made sense, right? Like, he needed somebody that we knew and we recognized, and that is Jericho. So, sure, that made sense. But everything after that, not so much.
No, and I mean, this match is just, I thought this to me, this match should have been, the match he had with Hook should have been on, and this is no disrespect to Hook at all, but this should have been, there were far more important matches on Dynasty last month that should have been a dark match. And this match should have been a dark match. And Perrazzo and Thunder Rosa should have had that spot. I'm sorry. But nonetheless, I'm not going to waste too much time on it. Chris Jericho does retain the the FTW championship. Again, I don't know where they're going with this at all. But next thing you know, now we have the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship Eliminator match between Jon Moxley and Takeshita with Don Callis. And of course, had Takeshita won, he would have received a future IWGP Heavyweight Championship match. I was saying before, I just couldn't see Mox losing on pay-per-view as the champion. And I was right.
And I definitely couldn't see Mox losing after the interview that he gave when he said he's not having fun in AEW.
Right. I mean, he's having the time of his life right now. And I mean, you know, he wins by pinfall. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen now. And the fact that he's able to travel between both companies, I think, is good. They give him a break, give his face a break a little bit on AEW. Still, you know, go there, you know, do his thing, but obviously put the focus, you know, now on New Japan. So we'll see, you know, where this goes, you know, as far as him being the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. But he does defeat Takeshita, as I stated before. Up next, we have the barbed wire steel cage match for the TNT Championship. Adam Copeland defending against Malakai Black. And, of course, Edge comes out to South of Heaven by Slayer, similar to his entrance that he had at WrestleMania 39 when he faced Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. Thought it was really cool. Set the tone for the match. Everything that you can possibly think of. And again, we're talking about a barbed wire steel cage match. The moment of the match was a couple things. Mm-hmm. They're outside of the ring and House of Black comes down and they side with Edge. And I'm like, oh my God, are we going to have a double turn right now? And they, oh man, and they ended up doing a double swerve and they beat the crap out of Edge. Because Black actually sold it. He was like, oh my God, they're turning on me. And next thing you know, but then lights go out and that ominous music happens, is playing. And who comes from under the ring? Gangrel. Now, I got to give props where props is due. My girlfriend's brother, DJ E Nice. Shout out to DJ E Nice. He and I were watching this pay per view at our mini vacation this weekend. And he was saying, "Yo, bro, they're gonna, you know, Gangrel's gonna come back." And I was like, "I didn't see it." And oh boy, he gave it to me. He said, "I told you." I'm like, "You got me." But it was cool. You know what I mean? And it's crazy to think that Edge pitched Gangrel and the Brood. And Vince, I think this is when Vince was still there, and they said no. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, how could you not have the Brood combat Judgment Day? That would have been awesome.
Perfect.
But no. But Edge does jump off the top rope onto Malakai Black, and he literally injured his
tibia.
He's gonna be out for a while. He even mentioned in on his Twitter that I got a little cocky and I got to realize that I'm 50 years old, not 25 years
feeling
old.
Feeling yourself, he was feeling yourself.
Yeah, he's feeling himself a little bit, but due to referee stoppage, Adam Copeland did retain the TNT Championship. As we're recording this, apparently the Young Bucks are going to have a update on the TNT title situation on Dynamite, and just we'll see what happens from there. The 1/3 of the main event of the triple main event rather is Mercedes Moné challenging Willow Nightingale for the TBS championship. I mean again, you know, two incredible workers, you know, people really getting to see what this side of the real life Mercedes Vernado can do in the ring as Mercedes Moné. You know, obviously, you know, with Sasha Banks, you know, there's this, you know, persona, and obviously there she was pretty limited to what she could do in there because obviously there's a safer style of WWE. But I think her, you know, going overseas and doing the indie thing and the New Japan, you know, Stardom, and now with AEW, I think she can pretty much own, you know, what she's doing. That match actually goes 18 minutes even, and you know, Mercedes Moné does defeat Willow Nightingale for the TBS championship. But after the match, oh boy. As Chris Statlander and Stoke was helping Willow Big Stoke. And by the way, he has one of the funniest Twitter Twitter accounts of all time. Follow Stokely Hathaway and tell him I sent you. But they're walking up the ramp, and Statlander just clotheslines Willow Nightingale out of her boot. I mean, oh my God. And the turn happened. It was totally unexpected, but I was thinking it was going to be Willow. It wasn't
expected.
I didn't know who was going to turn on who, because I'm just like, Stoke is not a babyface.
Stoke's a heel. Not. Yeah.
I knew one of these days the turn was going to happen. I didn't know who, but here we are. So now we have the war on Long Island. We'll see what happens. But what I was really surprised that didn't happen, I was thinking that DMD was going to show up after Mercedes won the title, but I guess they're going to save that. But they may save that, what I think might happen at Forbidden Door, if she retains that championship, maybe DMD shows up to get ready for London. Maybe. I could see that happening. We'll see. The next match is for the AEW World Championship, Swerve Strickland with Prince Nana defeating, actually he defended against Christian Cage with Killswitch, Nick Wayne, and Mother Wayne. And again, it was a good match. You know what I mean? Obviously you expected your outside interference and all that stuff. You expect that. What did you think? Go ahead.
You expected the shenanigans, right? Like, you knew it wasn't going to be a clean match because neither one of them are clean workers. They're both, I understand, like, they're trying to make Swerve a face, but deep down, like, Swerve is a heel. And we all know Christian's a heel. So again, I never expected a clean match. I think that the match got the job done. And hopefully they push Swerve as an actual champion. Like, yes, I recognize he's a champion. He has the belt. But, like, he's not represented as a champion. I don't know. Maybe he needs to do something. Maybe he needs to do something with that, like, immediately. Or, like, take the belt off of him something. Like, I'm bored. And I shouldn't be bored with my champion. At least coming off of Samoa Joe and MJF, like, I wanted, like, personality. Like, I want all of these things. And they're Swerve ain't giving it to me, right? Like,
what bothered me was, after he won the Dynamite, after he won the title, he's in a match.
An
opening match, and there was no promo or anything because
ring match, no like cool entrance, no nothing, just him match.
Now the only thing
he got his ass beat too at that, like just a match,
right?
Like, he got his ass beat,
right? But also too, I would have put, if he would have said on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, hey guys, no talk this Wednesday. You know, I'm here to wrestle, but Saturday on Collision, you will hear from me. So if he would have done that, I would have been like, all right, cool. He wants to go out. He wants to, you know, start this championship reign off right, wrestling, and I get it. But since there was no, I'm just like, okay, why is my world champion, you know, we're not hearing from him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the huge problem I had. But again, Swerve does win and retains the AEW World Championship. They got 24 minutes and 50 seconds out of it. And now it's time for the main event. The Elite taking on Team AEW, which consists of FTR, Darby Allin, and Bryan Danielson. Anarchy in the Arena match. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. There were things in that match that I honestly did not think I would ever see. The flame, the flamethrower thing.
Can't see his face right now if you're on radio or if you're listening on a podcast, but if you're watching this on YouTube, just like the seriousness in his tone right now in his face. He's like,
I mean, okay. There's a time and place for everything, but he literally, like, this wasn't a Hollywood set where there's all these things in place and that type of stuff. In professional wrestling, there is very small room for air, you know what I mean? Like, it's small room for that. So he sets Jack Perry on fire, and of course you had these idiot fans online talking about, oh, I wonder where Fragile Phil is thinking now. Fragile Phil is earning millions of dollars right now.
He ain't thinking about y'all, so why are you thinking about
him? He's not even thinking about AEW right now.
Not even a little bit.
So, now, God forbid if something would have happened to Jack Perry for real and when he got caught on fire. If he would have had second degree burns or whatever it was that he could have potentially had. What if the fire extinguisher didn't go off in time? You know what I mean? And, you know, you have that. Again, they're fighting all over this arena. I mean, again, kudos. You know what I mean? They're going at it. And they hang Darby Allin from the top of, I guess, from the, they had the rope, you know, coming down to the ring.
God, I hope they talked to Martha before they did that, but that's here nor there.
Say again?
Hope they talked to Martha before they did that.
Yeah, I mean, we can also talk. She approved the sting spot, so I'm assuming this was like,
yeah, I'm
okay.
Assuming she did too, but just like, oh,
she
like,
did. She did approve it. But cool. The thing is that the, how do I put this? They hang him from the top,
mm-hmm.
and they had those sneakers with the, mm-hmm. I guess with the thumbtacks in it, and they had the pyro in it, and they super kick Darby Allin. Mind you, this man broke his foot or whatever it was. He hurt his foot.
He
in
broke
that
his
stick.
Foot in that match with Jay White, and then he got hit by a bus in New York.
And he still wants to climb Mount Everest.
Yo, I guess.
If there are many signs telling you, no, don't do it, these are the ones that are telling you. But anyways, yeah. The Elite, they do win the Anarchy in the Arena match. I gotta say this. My boy Brian H. Waters, shout out to Brian H. Waters. You can follow him on Twitter. He's a part of the Ringer podcast with Kazim and Seahawk, Cameron Hawkins. Shout out to those guys who do a tremendous job covering the world of professional wrestling. Brian and I have known each other close to 12 years, you know, maybe probably longer than that now, 14 years. And he's still the host of the Wrestling Realm as well with the real Dwayne Allen. He was talking about how Okada has lost his aura. He's lost his mystique. Since joining AEW, he doesn't feel special anymore.
It's not wrong.
I have to tell you, I say, you know, you're right. Because when, how am I going to miss you when you don't go away?
Not even that. He's in regular matches. I feel like you should have people that like are pulled out, right? For certain things. And like, if I see you literally every week on TV, like it just, he's right. Like he's kind of lost.
He lost the mystique.
Yeah.
And when I think of Okada, man, you know, his New Japan, you know, run and the tremendous run he had there, mm-hmm. I'm just like, man, you know, that's he was the guy, mm-hmm. and now he's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no disrespect to him. 100%. I'm just talking about how he's being
presented. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like Okada, to me, Okada shouldn't have been in this Anarchy in the arena match. A guy like him, I would not put in that match.
Mm-hmm.
He is too special of a talent to be in that type of match.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? 100%. Like I don't know. And like in even the goofy stuff that he was doing, he was like, sing! When he asked the backstage interviewer to sing, and I'm just like, really?
I mean, okay,
it's cool, but it just kind of just took me out of the moment. So, but like I said, that is Anarchy. That's Anarchy in the Arena match. That's AEW's Double or Nothing. You know, obviously they have coming up next is Forbidden Door. That's going to be taking place in Long Island next month. But mm-hmm. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about what happened earlier in the pay-per-view where Adam Cole did come out after the first match. And there, he's talking, you know, talking typical Adam Cole trash. And out of the blue, on the big screen, you know, there's a house and you're walking through these hallways and you see, you know, the
MJF memorabilia.
MJF memorabilia, Nightmare Family, the scarf. And of course, MJF comes out as Triple H did when he returned at Madison Square Garden in January 2002. It was interesting. I was like, okay, nice homage to Hunter. And, you know, he kicks Adam Cole with the sun doesn't shine. you know, throws him out of the ring, and he, you know, cuts a promo talking about how, you know, I'm the Wolf of Wrestling, and I'm not effing leaving. And he has a tattoo on his lower part of his leg, and it says it was like, I guess, game chips, and it says bet on yourself, and it had the logo of AEW. So that he said it's not, you know, I'm sure it's not a surprise to you, Marks. No offense, and he just said, you know, I'm staying in AEW. So we kind of knew that, because if the rumors were, oh, he's going to be going to WWE, he would have shown up at the Rumble, he would have shown up at Mania. So at this point, it's just like, eh. You know, I think he is where he should be right now, I think.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. So like I said, we had a lot to cover, you know, on this episode, you know, between two companies and, you know, what, you know, the possibilities of what's to come. You know, obviously WWE has Clash at the Castle that's coming up, and it was just announced that Drew McIntyre is cleared, and he will challenge Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship at Clash at the Castle in his home country of Scotland. So, but it's interesting because June 28th at Madison Square Garden at SmackDown, the featured match is going to be Jey Uso versus Damian Priest. Now, I don't know if they're doing that to throw us off, because I will be there. Me, the Queen, and her daughter will be there. So we're going to see what's going to happen. If it's going to be, you know, whether it's going to be a non-title match, if Priest is the champion, again, we don't know. But right. I just found it very interesting that they announced that match. And I know Drew McIntyre had responded to it, so we'll see. But before we get out of here, you know, you can tell the people where, you know, they can find you on social media, the whole nine yards.
You guys can find me at Charm City Gabby, Gabby with G-A-B-I-I on all social media platforms. And keep a lookout. Me and my friends have started our own podcast, Lip Gloss and Ladders, coming to you soon this summer.
Well, I will be subscribing to that when that does go live. And again, you could definitely follow her on all social platforms. And again, she's a great addition to the D-Loop podcast. And as you can see now, we're going to be doing video content, you know, every single time now. We're going to really up our game, you know, in regards to what we're doing here. You know, obviously with the brand here and Bleav Network, you know, we're really kind of take it to the next level. So, you know, I appreciate all that she does, what she continues to do for the show, what the value that she adds. And I'm beyond, again, I say it all the time, you know, there is no D-Loop podcast without you, and especially all the listeners out there. So again, guys, you know, thank you very much. And till next time.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Well, that does it for this week's edition of the D-Loop Podcast on Bleav Network. Again, I want to thank Gabby, as always, for her contributions to the show. And like I said, we're definitely taking it to the next level. Like I said, we're doing video from here on out as well, in addition to the audio piece of the D-Loop Podcast. Of course, you can follow the D-Loop Podcast on all social media platforms, including X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, at the D-Loop Podcast. And if you search Facebook, you just put in the D-Loop Podcast in the search engine, it'll be able to find the page. You can hit the like and follow option. Of course, my own social media, again, on all platforms, is at The Real DT Lou. Facebook is Derek T. Lewis official page. You can, again, as I alluded to earlier in the episode, again, you can go to all of my stores. You know, my WWE shop store is wrestling.thedloupodcast.com. My Pro Wrestling Tee store is pwt.derrickt.lewis.com. And of course, everything related to me, Derrick T. Lewis, Luciette Music, is of course shop.derrickt.lewis.com. Again, all of our music, you can check it out. Just search Derrick T. Lewis on all music platforms. You'll be able to see all of my music as well as music videos too. Subscribe to this podcast on all platforms, including YouTube. Yes, this show is now on YouTube, both video and audio. So if you search Derrick T. Lewis, you can just, of course, hit the subscribe button there, so you'll be able to get every single update that happens, whether it's podcasting, whether it's wrestling, whether it's music, everything. You can get it at my YouTube channel, again, Derrick T. Lewis. Well, I'm going to get out of here. And as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.